Hello and welcome to SearchSerum.com and SearchSalesforce.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today we're summing up some of the trends from 2016 and looking toward 2017 and what might gather steam or sputter out. And today, joining me to give some perspective on these trends, I have with me Brent Leary, a partner at Serum Essentials. Brent, welcome.
It's always good to speak with you. I'm glad to be back for round two. That is really good.
Round two, yeah, we have quite a bit to talk about, and we decided that part one could only sustain so much of this conversation. We'd have to split it up. So I'm going to dive right in. We were kind of dancing around one of the big themes of 2016, which we can only surmise will get bigger in 2017. And I guess I want to really throw it to you to talk about, but artificial intelligence, there's a lot of promise here. There's also some potential pitfalls in terms of artificial intelligence and how it might affect companies' sort of insight about operations and customers. Can you talk a little bit about both sides of that?
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to escape what AI this you can almost say that 2016 was kind of the year that AI kind of just went mainstream, at least in the sense of it went to the front of the forethought. AI has been around for a long time, but this year, particularly when it came to kind of the CRM world, it just blew up, and you can't look at anything more than or other than what kind of took place with the companies, the big guys, the Microsoft, is the Salesforces, the Oracles, and the SAPs. They were all kind of busy, snapped up companies that were focused on this area. And so when you think about how the billions of dollars that were spent acquiring companies to roll into their platforms, the ability to leverage the artificial intelligence that's going to be kind of being driven by all this data that's coming in. We're just really at the tip of the iceberg. I think 2016 was the year we all started seeing the locomotion moving. 2017, 2018, 2019, those are going to be kind of like the foundational years of actually putting into play, bringing all this disparate information together. And then putting, running these machine learning, deep learning tools, begin to go through that data and find in real time the kind of insights that are going to impact how companies are able to build relationships going forward. So I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot that has to take place for this to really sink in and impact companies. But you can't ignore the fact that we're going in a direction that's going to make it even more important to understand who your customer is in real time in order for you to stay connected with them over time.
And to that point, at say Dreamforce and some of the other big shows this year, there was a lot of discussion about using chatbots in customer service, kind of at that first level, being able to handle a whole new scale and volume of customer inquiry, but then kind of passing the baton over to human beings to handle customer inquiries when they get more complex. That's just one example of machine learning and AI in customer service. But and there's real opportunity there. But also could AI and chatbots and some of these other technologies kind of bring certain aspects of customer service and just general company operations, could they go the way of the bank teller, where increasing automation kind of eliminates certain human functions?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing, and it's you've seen it actually across the board. You mentioned in banking, but you're seeing it in other areas where maybe the routine, very routine kind of answers that you may get from certain areas, like a bank teller, if you're asking for your balance or you're asking for a, you know, to deposit a check, you're seeing some of the functionality being taken over by machines, by bots, if you want to call it that. But what exactly is, I think, is going to be the kind of the flip side is that is it's going to free up, you know, kind of humans from doing those routine things, but then it'll also allow humans to really focus on kind of the, you know, the road to staying connected with customers, to staying, you know, I don't know if emotionally connected is the right word, but being able to raise their use of empathy and intelligence in ways that they couldn't have done if they're focused solely on kind of the routine things that have to get done that take up a lot of time. So I think that, you know, there is going to be some loss if you're focused, you know, if you kind of use the sales terminology, there's the order takers. And those are the people who are, you basically just walk up to, you tell them what you want, they write it down, and then you end up getting it. Well, you don't really need people to do that anymore. What you need are people who understand what you're trying to accomplish and understand what you're trying to accomplish over time, and then be able to help you get there. And that goes beyond kind of the, you know, asking the routine question. This goes to analyzing, understanding, speaking with, having, you know, on an ongoing basis, so that you're able to stay connected and understand what the big picture, what your customer is trying to do, not just the little picture of what's going on today, but what are they really trying to do, and how can you use the insights that come from all the data you have to help them get there?
So now let's talk about another trend that just a couple of years ago was rolled out with great fanfare. And it's, I don't want to say it's languished, but, or sputtered, but I think it's challenged. And that's the Internet of Things. There's a lot of, certainly, reports and examples of IoT taking hold in industries like manufacturing. And many other and retail, and really changing the way those industries are functioning. But there's also some challenges regarding the volume of the data, how to interpret the data and analyze it with meaning, and some other challenges. Can we talk a little bit about where IoT is today?
I like how you explain that, because I think you have, you know, the IIoT, which was the industrial Internet of Things, and that, you know, the manufacturing and what companies like GE are doing. And I think they're further along, because they're used to being very process-driven industries and doing things in a procedural fashion. And I think when you have that as a kind of a way of your kind of standard order of proceeding, you are able to kind of really fill in the meat and potatoes of what needs to be done and what you're trying to accomplish. And so I think, you know, that industrial side of the IoT is further along, because they do have a little bit more understanding of what they're trying to do, and what looking at this particular piece of information means in the overall of, you know, process. So I think companies like, you know, those big manufacturing companies, they are maybe further ahead with IoT than the consumer focused things. And that, I think that's only because they're still trying to, you know, the consumer side of IoT is driven by smaller organizations. And I think these smaller organizations are used to being a little bit more freewheeling, and not as structured. And so they're trying to figure out, you know, first of all, like you said, there's a lot of data, a lot more data that's coming to them, coming at them from multiple places. So they have to figure out, all right, how do we get it all? How do we aggregate it? And then how do we analyze it? What are we looking for? And then you're trying to do all that in as near real time as possible. So the technology is maybe there, but the corporate culture may not be there. The processes may not be in place. And that, I think, is just as critical to the success of IoT as the technology itself. So I think it's going to take a while for it to happen, but we're going to get there. And I think we're going to get there in maybe fits and starts, but there's too much potential that I see people walking away from it and not going back. They may get frustrated. They may have to change their kind of path towards it, but I still see 2, 3, 4, 5 years out, we're going to be moving in that direction.
Right, in that short, long term. And now you, to shift gears a little bit, but I think this is also one of the key trends of over the course of this year, and I expect it only to continue next year. And I want to ask you a couple things about it. So that the trend is really companies, just a lot of purchases, a lot of mergers and acquisitions, a lot of big purchases like Microsoft's purchase of LinkedIn. Salesforce made dozens of acquisitions this year to the tune of billions of dollars. So my question is twofold. We've seen a lot of interesting technologies kind of rise to the surface and possibly enhance some of these established players. But then on the other side of things, is there also a danger with some of this consolidation and a lot of big deals changing hands, that there's some possibility of innovation being squelched? So I throw that to you.
Yeah, I think we're going to see the level of acquisitions, the quantity and the quality of acquisitions, the size of the acquisitions. I think we're going to see that continue into 2017. I mean, I'm just looking here now that just the last, we're in December, Salesforce has bought a company, Twin Prime. SAP has just recently, I think I just got the notice of that either Friday or Monday, but they bought a company called Abacus. And then, you look at Oracle has bought several companies over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. And you mentioned probably the biggest one to date is Microsoft buying LinkedIn. But they bought smaller companies leading up to that. It's all about CRM has morphed into the customer engagement platform. And you're seeing, these pieces added to the traditional SFA, marketing automation, and customer service. You're seeing because of the importance of e-commerce. We already talked about how e-commerce is becoming part of the customer engagement platform. Last year, I think it was last year around this time, maybe a little before that, Salesforce bought a company called SteelBrick, which was a CPQ company. And of course, Oracle had already bought a CPQ company. So CPQ has become a part of the customer engagement platform. And what's going on with AI? AI is going to be all throughout the platform, when you think about it. Then there's pieces like DMP, data management platforms. Because of all this information that's coming in from all these disparate systems, it's really important to have a full-blown strategy at the enterprise level for how do you manage that. And so you're seeing, these companies buy, the vendors buy these DMP platforms to roll it into their overall CRM offering. I think we're gonna be doing that for a while because everything is so critical to how we communicate with customers. And because we're communicating more and more with them through our interactions, could be our verbal interactions, it could be our email interactions, it could be the how they use the applications that they're using on from a subscription kind of perspective, it could be the devices talking back. So there's ongoing nonstop engagement with customers, and that is completely changing the platforms that we need from the big vendors to handle that. So we're really, I think, still we're in the midst of all this. As we get more familiar with what IoT will be and how AI will be able to manage the information and create the insights. There's lots of moving and shaking to come, folks. So I think we're really at one of the more exciting but also challenging parts of the industry, because there's just so much going on and so much movement.
Yes, so much flux. And you know, we were just talking internally here at the office the other day. You know, it's enabling a whole series of new functions, integrating things like AI and analytics into the customer platform. But at the same time, there's as you mentioned, there's a lot of challenge yet to come, even just organizationally, bringing some of these companies into the fold, standardizing processes, creating one voice, one culture, one way of doing things. I think that has a while to shake out as well. Is that would you see it that way?
Yeah, I do. And you know what's kind of pretty interesting, and you were at the conference, at the HubSpot Inbound conference.
Yes.
Two things that really stood out to me, or amongst a couple, that conference and the keynote from the founders in particular really had some interesting spots. So one was, everybody knows HubSpot as a marketing and inbound marketing platform, and they've been talking about it for years. So one of the things that really stood out to me during the keynote, when Brian Halligan was talking, was he said some things that we all kind of see going on. You know, video is going to be really important, that 50% of your content or near 50% of your content should be in video format. I remember him saying that. I totally get it. And they've been talking about that for a while. But the thing that caught my attention was when he said that you need to be offering subscriptions. You need to be thinking about recurring revenue. That was something I had never heard him say in public at any inbound conference. And so what is that? That's you're talking about business model change at this point. So when he said that, I've been looking, and I had a great conversation just a couple of weeks before at Dreamforce with Teen Zuo of Zuora, and that's a company kind of evangelized the whole subscription economy thing. But to hear Halligan at HubSpot talk about you need to be thinking about recurring revenue, you need to be offering subscription based. That was a big thing that really captured my attention. And the other thing that captured my attention, and I think you and I talked about this when we were there, was when Dharmesh Shah got up and said that chatbots may be the most significant technology in decades. And I was like, okay, that's a pretty big statement. I had a chance to talk to him a little bit about that. And what he said was basically chatbots are a manifestation of these new conversational user interfaces that things like, you know, the Echo and Siri and Cortana, that they represent, making it easy for people to use their voice instead of swiping and clicking and typing, use their voice to get what they want. And I think that's what represents the big sea change, and how instead of looking for web designers or in addition to web designers to help create the right web presence, you're going to have to looking at bot designers so that you can leverage the power of that conversation that is going to be taking place with customers as they get more and more comfortable with asking and instead of typing, that you're going to have to create the kind of presence that will allow them to take advantage of that. And then on the back end, give those answers in the formats they want or need. It could be in a messenger, but it could be, like I said, that very colorful visualized dashboard. So we're really in the flux for everything. How our customers expect things, how they go about doing things, what they want back from us. And it's the industry and the vendor's responsibility to try to figure it out and try to provide it. I would like to be them, but I also, it's kind of a love-hate thing, because that's a lot of work and a lot of expectations that they're going to have to meet.
Yes, and while the industry is kind of shifting under their feet all at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Brent, I think these are conversations that we are likely to continue in 2017, but we're starting them off right now. So thank you so much for joining us today.
And I can't wait to see what happens next year. Should be fun.
I agree. I agree. Well, and as always, we hope you'll join us and take a front row seat as we take a look at some of these trends over the course of the year. And for more, you can always check out searchcrm.com and searchsalesforce.com and our sister site, searchcontentmanagement.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.